Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
So happy new Thanksgiving gift with thanks.
Octoberween?
Yes. Decemberween?
Decemberween.
There we go.
Yeah. So what do you think about adamandeve.com to make the year go out?
I think that adamandeve.com. Well, .com is a given. It's an internet company. I think that Adam...
No, it's not. They used to send out catalogs and stuff. I've got old catalogs from the 80s from Adam and Eve.
I know. But they're an internet company now.
Well, yeah, but they're also a
AdamandEve.com. It's a great place to find a deal. Now that you've got some holiday money lying in your pocket, you know, maybe even a gift card or two that...
Maybe you can buy something to line something else.
Exactly.
I use the joke about the turkey shouldn't be the only thing stuffed at Thanksgiving.
And, yeah, I know.
You know, the stocking shouldn't be the only thing getting stuffed at Christmas.
This is true. But I don't know. I've checked out their stuff, and maybe there's one or two items I like. But gosh, it'd be nice. You know, it'd be nice and affordable at half the price.
Well, a single item, if you use the promo code STATIC, you'd get 50% off of a single item.
Okay, well, that's a start.
You'd get free shipping.
Free. Okay, that's a start. That's a good one. We're
you'd
going.
Get three free DVDs. Not one, not two, but three of them.
Three. Plenty of spank material. All right.
And a free mystery gift that might be spank material. It might not. I don't know what the mystery gift could be. A cock ring, could be analies, could be deep throat gel, could be a little mini vibrator. It could be, you know, a little midget that fingers your clit for you. I don't know. Yeah, I've heard that they make those now. I'm not sure if Adam and Eve carries them, but I've heard they make them.
Actually, I did find a product on Adam and Eve the other day that I thought would be hilarious.
Yeah.
What you can do is you can sculpt your own penis into a dildo.
Would that be masturbation if you're sticking your own penis up your ass? Or
I don't do that. I don't know.
No, I'm just asking the philosophical question.
I
because
really...
would that kind of be having sex with yourself?
Well,
the definition of masturbation is bringing yourself to orgasm.
Well, that's true. I don't know. Maybe. You know, I'm curious. But I got this I saw that and I got this horrible mental picture. Can you imagine if like some of our listeners got that thing, sculpted their penis and sent it to us?
Okay, I'm not going to give out my address anymore.
just crossed my mind. I was like, wow, that would be a devoted fan.
It would be kind of creepy.
If we ever do a video or something, just this row of penises behind us.
That would actually, I'd like, do they have like the clam sculpting kit? Because I'd like any female listeners, yeah, all five of you, to get a sculpt of the clam, and we'll put it up on the shelf behind us in the studio.
Nope, I didn't see that, but yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
Promo code STATIC, and we've gone on this almost 3.5 minutes.
Definitely. But speaking of listeners sending us things, all five of our female listeners, no one has sent us boob pictures. One of the other shows I do with a friend, we've gotten tons of boob pictures. Lost in the Static, not a one.
Come on, boob pictures. only if you're female and were born that way.
Boob pictures, not moob pictures.
Yeah, if I see facial hair coming in through the top of the frame, I'm going to be very, very disappointed.
Although I've met a couple of women with some hormone imbalances, and that might still apply.
How do you make a hormone? Don't pair.
Thanks. Okay.
I'm sorry. That's a classic.
Yeah, that's bad. What are we talking about this week?
Oh, just, you know, it's New Year's, so just, you know, end of the year and how bad our year has gone so far. I mean, how great our year has gone so far. Because, I mean, the Adam and Eve money is at least helping keep the lights on. That's something.
Exactly. There have been some pluses. AdamandEve.com is one. Thank you guys very much for using that promo code and helping me and Josh out. So that's one good thing that's going. I've gotten a whole lot of fan feedback for this show.
See, I've told you, I don't like that word fan. And this is not like a pretentious thing, or I'm not trying to make a joke. I'm not comfortable with that term.
Well,
I like the term listener.
Hang on. It, we have lots and lots of listeners. Okay. We have a couple of fans.
Okay. I just
I understand where you're coming from, but I have actually I've gained a couple of friends that have friended me on Facebook and kind of talked to me and whatnot, and all from the show. And hey, that's a good thing. That didn't happen much with my other shows.
Because the other shows sucked.
No, they didn't.
You even told me before you gave me all your Seder casts. You're like, they're not very good.
Well, they're not.
So here you're saying, no, they didn't suck, but they weren't very good.
Yeah, they didn't suck.
I think you're kind of contradicting yourself.
No. Things cannot just be good or suck. There is a gray area in between where you're kind of like, well, this certainly isn't very good, but it doesn't really suck. I'm still listening. I'm still enjoying myself.
Because like I said, I gave up on SaterCast around episode 20-something.
Yeah,
I'm not doing it. It's the same jokes every week, and, you know.
Well, we had loyal SaterCast fans, too.
Dozens of them.
Yeah, all five of them. But they, you know, we actually did have a little following for SaterCast. That, of course, has followed me into the Oblivion Radio Network, which jasonoblivion.com is growing quite a bit, and we've got a Vegas trip planned next year that I'm excited about. So, I mean, that's
a
definite plus.
Are we
going to
see this on the news?
There's a distinct possibility of that. As when you travel anywhere with Jason Oblivion, you bring two things. One, a working and charged cell phone in order to call the police, and two, bail money for when the police have arrived.
See, I was going to say, and your lawyer's home phone number.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Same thing. But yeah, we've got a Vegas trip planned for that next year, so that's going well. His subscription service there is going well. I haven't done a whole lot more voiceovers for him, but I was just recently a guest on another damn talk show, which is kind of the flagship show. And he may, this isn't in cement quite yet, but he may be joining us here on Jackalope.
Yeah, you told me the SOPA thing scared the living shit out of him.
Yes, as it should. As it should. That's
because with Jackalope's full rights clearances, exactly. Since God pays into the artist's fund, we still have rights clearances.
Yay!
We can't get sued for playing music.
Yay!
So that's positive, right?
That's positive. It's all in all, it's not been a bad year. It's not been a great year. It's
I don't know when Twilight Breaking Dawn breaks worldwide ticket sale records. That's a bad thing.
Well, that just shows that the U.S. has no taste.
No,
anymore.
Worldwide. I did not say United States, Scott.
Okay,
I said worldwide
records. That shows
records.
That the human race needs a little help, that's all.
Yes, it does, because that just when I saw those numbers, I went, are you serious?
Although our friend Brad, who does Radiodrome with you,
yes,
you need to pass on, he and his wife Jillian...
I actually knew this was coming.
Yeah,
I actually knew that video was coming. She told me about it, and she was not looking forward to it.
They did a wonderful review of Breaking Dawn Part 1. That
kind of an unexpected ending.
Yeah, go to the Cinema Snob.
The
Cinema Snob. Go to the Look it up, and it's hilarious.
I don't know if Jillian wants me telling this or not, but she said two shampoos later, she still has glitter dandruff.
Well, you have to understand that glitter is the herpes of the craft world. So
it gets into everything.
Yeah, once you get it, it's there forever. End of story.
By the time Jillian hears this, you know, it won't matter.
Yeah, well, if she does come up from Ohio to kick our butts, then so be it.
They're in Illinois.
If she does come up, that's right, they are, aren't they? if she does come up from Illinois, hey, all that much closer.
Yeah, it's all that much easier. Brad and Jillian and Jared are in Springfield, Illinois.
But maybe we should do a road trip one of these days.
Maybe.
Except I know you have a fear of leaving your house.
Am I in my house right now?
You have a fear of leaving your house for more than 12 to 14 hours.
I don't like sleeping in a bed that's not my bed.
Uh-huh.
I can't stand sleeping in hotel beds.
Uh-huh.
I can't stand sleeping in the back seat of a car.
Josh, don't travel.
Not really.
Josh does not travel at all.
I'm willing to. Like, you know, our friend Cassandra has brought up that there is a con, an anime con, that may want us next year.
That would be cool.
So I don't know.
But now, by us, do you mean you and I, or you and Brad, or
I don't know. She said,
or you and Cassandra.
Well, she's going to be there anyway. She like is on the board or something. Oh, that's like cool. That. Okay. So Cassandra would be there no matter what. But I would try and bring you and Brad.
That would be awesome.
And you know, do a Lost in the Drome.
Radio static. Wait.
No. See, like, when I did my comic special with Linkara, I didn't, you know, I'm like, well, it doesn't really fit into Radiodrome, doesn't really fit into Lost in the Static. So on iTunes, you can find it as Lost in the Drome. Yeah. That's what I decided to call it.
That'll work.
I actually kind of like that, though, too. Lost in the Drome.
Well done. You get a gold star.
And I was thinking that there's a couple of specials that a couple of people have asked me to do. Like Hank wants to do a little, he was not able to do it on a regular basis, but every now and then like a special on like action figures and old toys and things like that.
Okay.
And like board games. And obviously that's not something you can do on a weekly basis, but I was thinking about every now and then doing that and just putting it up on iTunes as a Lost in the Drome special. You know, it's a possibility. Something along those lines, and just making them iTunes exclusives.
I've seen a lot of you could even do it in video and put it up on YouTube. I've seen a lot of toy reviews and action figure reviews and stuff up there, and it's interesting stuff. I'm amazed at the things you can find at toy fairs and whatnot.
I always like the knockoffs. I always like, you know, the obvious Superman toy that's painted to look like Batman, but it's clearly Superman's, you know, costume and body mold. But it's even better when it's clearly Spider-Man's with the webbing and, you know, etched into the plastic, and yet it's painted like Batman. You got those, you know, Chinese knockoffs and shit. I love those.
The ones that if they come in packaging at all, it looks like somebody did a collage on their office.
On MS Paint. A lot of these look like they're back in the MS Paint days.
Very true.
Or maybe even Mario Paint. Maybe they did this on their Super Nintendo.
Mario Paint was fun.
I don't know. I never got into that stuff. When I play a game, I want to kill something.
I know.
You know, I want to kill something when I'm playing a game. I don't want to, you know, paint and be creative. I want a good story told to me, and then I want to shoot some motherfucker in the face with a shotgun.
This is true. So, what are you looking forward to next year?
I'm dreading and looking forward to the presidential election. If that and anyone knows that's just about everybody, because while I really don't think the Republicans have even the tiniest little bit of a chance, Obama's not doing too much better, and I'm hoping the Occupy Wall Street movement is still going at election time and really starts fucking with this thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I
don't know. My problem with Occupy Wall Street, as much as I'm behind their original message, I really am. Their original message was, hey, look, we've got all of these CEOs that are making 600, 700 times the amount of their regular plebeians. And we got absolutely no problem with CEOs making more. That's their more responsibility. That's what they do. But they're making this much more, and they're not paying their fair share into the government that we have running. And that was their original message. Nowadays, though, every time I see an Occupy Wall Street story or something like that, there were people who during the Occupy movement in England, they're at a cathedral. they're at a cathedral, a Saint something, and I cannot remember for the life of me which one it is, but nonetheless, there was a story not too long ago where somebody went in and just crapped on the altar.
Yep, I heard about that.
And
But you also got to realize, without too politicizing this episode too much, that the police are just showing that they are in the pocket of the 1%. Look at every day. Can you go one day without seeing a news story about police brutality, usually accompanied with video, so it's not just a cop did this to me
right,
story.
Right.
You know, look at the one at, I think it was UC Berkeley, where they got that huge concentration of pepper spray. Everyone is handcuffed. They're all on the ground sitting there peacefully, and a cop's just walking up and down like he's spraying for bugs, spraying them all in the face. Exactly. Teach them goddamn hippies. You know, this is what happens when you protest at my school.
Before you get riled up, my one thing about where were the police? You remember the Westboro Baptist Church?
Yeah.
The one based in Topeka, and they used to go and protest like soldiers' funerals and stuff like that.
I'm actually surprised when Gary Gygax died, they didn't protest him. You
so
know,
am I. But where was the police brutality during those protests? I mean, if there's a protest where you can really get behind police brutality.
Because cops hate hippies.
I know.
And the Occupy Wall Street movement is thought of as a bunch of stupid hippie kids. I mean, look at Newt Gingrich in November. Get a job, but take a shower first, you stupid hippies.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be good
for his
campaign.
And he's running for president.
Exactly. I'm going to be talking to a couple of friends next year, but I may be doing something really crazy starting next year.
Try and grow hair?
No. I gave up on that years ago. no, I may be running for president.
Oh,
actually,
yeah,
vice president.
You told me about this.
But
you're not turning this into a political show.
I'm not going to turn this into a political show.
No, I mean next year.
But kind of like I said, I'm not turning this into a political show. But it's one of those things where I don't like anybody. I'm going to try and get enough signatures nationwide to actually be considered, because you have to get enough signatures to be considered. Then you have to have enough states with your party in order to end up on the ticket. So am I ever going to end up on the ticket? No, but...
Well, Jello Biafra ran for mayor of San Francisco back in the 70s. He nearly won, because back then they had the Fairness Doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to give him equal time, him and his, you know, goofy, hippie, punk friends. You know, it had to be invited to all the parties equal time on the radio and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing that really pisses me off about equal time having gone away, is that the freaks don't get their moment anymore.
It's
the freaks
shame.
Don't have the money to buy that time the way the Dems. And see, that's something I wanted to talk about a little bit. And this does go back to entertainment a little bit, is I'm hoping next year after the election's over, Bill Maher actually reclaims his own fucking show. I almost am given up on Real Time at this point. Because if you watch the early seasons of Real Time with Bill Maher, they were about social issues, things going on in the country. Now, every single episode is Republicans, Democrats, Republicans, Democrats, Republicans, Democrats, Republicans, Democrats. Oh, yeah, and there was, a social thing here. But Republicans did this and Democrats did this.
So it's kind of gone the...
He's become a political show, and I'm sick. Bill... Stop with the Democrats and Republicans. That's on every other talk show out there. You used to be about issues, not about parties.
I was going to say, so he's kind of turned it. Do you remember when Jerry Springer on his show, he would have the Black Panthers on one side and the KKK on the other?
And a fight broke out. Who
saw that coming, yeah. So now Bill Maher is kind of the political equivalent of that.
Yeah, he just everything is Republicans and Democrats on his show. And it's just, I'm sick of it. So I'm hoping after the election, he can actually say, all right, we're done with Republicans. But he won't, because then, assuming Obama wins, he's going to, the Republicans keep saying this about Obama.
Exactly.
He's just become a political pundit. And his show used to be about actual issues in the early seasons.
And to tell you the truth, and this will put a cap on the political stuff.
Yeah.
My thought is the Republicans have lost their brains and hearts, and the Democrats have lost their balls.
I don't think the Democrats ever had balls.
And I think
I'll give you that for the sake of argument.
Well, no, go back to the Democrats of the latter 40s, the 50s, into the early 60s.
Okay,
they
modern,
had some balls.
Modern
Democrats.
Democrats,
they've lost their balls. The Republicans have lost their brains and their hearts. Fuck the poor, we should eat them. and as for brains,
how much money would it cost to launch the poor into space?
Exactly. So getting out of that, because let's not make this a political show. Or have there have TV series. Have there been any standout TV series this year that you've enjoyed?
I just remember something. It's not political, but I do want to talk to you about.
All right.
Remember earlier in the year when you showed me the Rebecca Black Friday video for the first time and whatnot?
Yes.
Did you see that Macy's commercial that was out for Black Friday?
I have not.
Oh, my God. It's a takeoff of that. It's Black Friday, Black Friday at Macy's. Oh, my. I nearly shit my pants with a, are you kidding?
No, she's a multi.
Me.
She's a multimillionaire. Her and Justin Bieber, man.
Okay. Answer me this question then. Now, I have never, and I'm not being facetious about this, I have never met a person who likes Justin Bieber's music. So how are people like Justin Bieber so insanely popular when no one seems to actually like them?
I've met Bieber fans.
Really?
Yes.
Are they over 14?
No. I've got friends who teach middle school. I've met Bieber fans.
And they legitimately like this
crap? They legitimately adore this guy. I mean, do you remember back when we were in middle school, it was New Kids on the Block?
That would be high school for us. I remember.
Yeah, middle school, high school, somewhere around there. But yeah, it was New Kids on the Block. And you remember the girls that had the posters in their locker and everybody had their favorite New Kid. And oh, wow, they were incredible. And
I remember it. I'm rolling my eyes at you right now.
Yes,
but I
realize
it.
That, but you remember it. And the Bieber is, it's this generation's New Kid. That's the way it is. It's the target demographic is preteen and early teen girls, and boy, does it work.
Well, all right. I'm going to play something for you.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm sorry. It was
Kohl's, not Macy's, but this is the commercial you were talking about?
Yeah.
12 a.m. still hours till morning. Been online since yesterday. Breath smells bad. I need coffee. 500 early bird special. Not today. It's Black Friday. Black Friday. Gotta go to Kohl's on Black Friday. Everybody's going there at midnight.
Oh, God.
You thought I was kidding, weren't you?
No, I didn't. But done. I'll be done with this list by the weekend. Get $15 closer. And she...
Do you think they actually like got the rights? Or because this would technically qualify as a parody, that might fall under fair use.
No, SOPA hasn't happened yet. No. Well, provided she's in the commercial, they worked it out. You know. Speaking of which, she's not looking too good.
I saw that when I was watching TV, and I just figured end of the year we got to talk about that has got to be a sign of the apocalypse.
I don't know. You know, every generation thinks the next generation's music sucks.
That's true.
So, and yeah, our next generation behind us is Bieber and Rebecca Black, and we think it sucks.
Well, but like you pointed out, our generation now, while we were not listeners, our generation had the New Kids. And
the Backstreet Boys, 98 Degrees, all the boy bands,
New Edition. That's what I couldn't think of. I'm like, it's like a bunch of black guys that all sounded like they didn't have testicles.
New Edition, Bell Biv DeVoe.
Yeah,
although I kind of like Bell Biv DeVoe.
I didn't, and it just, what is it about that pussified, candy coated, totally constructed image and music that grabs teens? I mean, you would think a teenager, they're at their peak of individual, you know, trying to be an individual while being part of a group, and they've got their rebellious side. So why do they take such comfort in something that's totally constructed and completely designed to manipulate you?
I don't know. It's manufactured candy-coated pop. It's relatively harmless. You know, I don't see a problem because, you know, right after they go through that phase, I don't know if you noticed, but right after they go through that phase, they go through their angsty phase. And that's when
the Cure and
Morrissey
Grudge
came
shit.
In. Well, not only just the Cure and Morrissey of that.
That was our generation.
The depression deal. But, you know, on the other side, you get either depression like that or you get anger like Nirvana and a bunch of grunge music that got popular.
Which I think is pretentious. Grunge,
I have absolutely no doubt that. You know, eventually Bieber will fade and Rebecca Black will fade, and I'm sure another bubblegum pop artist will pop up in their place. But
the weird thing about Justin Bieber,
mm-hmm.
he's not a bad actor. Did you ever see him on CSI last year?
Yes, I did.
As serial killer? He was creepy as shit.
He was pretty good, and spoiler alert, he got shot.
Oh, yeah.
And
but
boy, howdy, that was fun.
But what I'm just saying, what is it? Okay, you're terrible in your music videos. You come across like a weird androgynous lesbian in your live appearances, and you're a really fucking creepy serial killer on TV. What the hell?
You know, maybe Bieber's got some acting chops that, you know, again, he's good at what he does, and it's obviously manufactured, and he's highly guided with his music. So CSI just gave him a chance to step up and get a little creepy and show another side of him. And who knows, maybe it'll be like Justin Timberlake, a decent actor will arise from this bubblegum pop movement.
Maybe, I don't know, it's weird. But okay, you were asking about TV.
Yeah, TV. What series have grabbed your imagination this year?
Well, Sons of Anarchy was probably its most intense season yet. And that was holy fucking shit.
Yes.
When SOA ended. And keep in mind, season two was a pretty hardcore season. So yeah. For them to top season two, I mean, come on, Henry Rollins and three other skinheads gang raping Katie Seagal in the freaking season premiere. That was pretty intense for season two. And they fucking upped it for this season.
Okay. You okay there?
Yeah, just dying here.
Little blah in your, 'tis the season. Well, for me, Walking Dead really grabbed me.
Oh my God. You can see what happened to Walking Dead. I mean, you know about all the behind the scenes nonsense, right?
No, I don't.
Basically, series creator, I mean, he didn't have anything to do with the comic, but he's one, the big guy was Frank Darabont.
Okay.
The guy behind The Mist and The Shawshank Redemption and Green Mile and, you know, movies like that.
Good pedigree.
And he had a lot of trouble with season one. He wasn't used to working on a TV schedule. So he had a lot of problems with AMC. So for season two, they decided, and this was a calculated move on AMC's part. They waited until they were done promoting everything at Comic-Con. Then they fired him. Specifically right after they finished the third episode of this season.
Okay.
And then they cut the show's budget by about a half. They actually sent a memo to them. Do we actually have to see the zombies in every episode? or would it be all right if we just hear them sometimes?
No, you have to see them.
You know, because it was the guy that does Mad Men took all of AMC's money.
Yeah.
Because he did that holdout that basically Breaking Bad and Walking Dead had to have their budgets cut so Mad Men could stay on the air because that arrogant fucking cocksucker.
Which is a shame because Breaking Bad is another. I prefer Breaking Bad over Mad Men.
See, the only thing I didn't like about Breaking Bad, I really didn't like, what is it, Jesse, the former student that's working with them?
Yeah.
The guy's just so unlikable.
Yeah.
But the point is, I know he's supposed to be unlikable, but he's so unlikable that I don't like him as a kid. He annoys me to the point where I just, please fucking kill him. Just get him off this show.
Okay. But yeah, Walking Dead has grabbed me, even with all the behind-the-scenes garbage and even... They've definitely slowed the pace in season two.
That's what I was just going to say.
They have really slowed the pace, but it's still pretty good.
The story's moving like molasses.
In February, you're right. It's very slow.
Because it's all about budget cuts, because you can't have... You'll notice there's one zombie encounter per episode, and it's usually a really short one, and the rest is all people running around talking on one set. Right. Basically, they have one set. So it's all budget cutting, and just it is so slow.
It is. It's a very slow moving drama, but I still enjoy it.
I'm enjoying it, but I just wish they'd speed the shit up some.
Okay. What else has grabbed your attention?
Not much. Simpsons is just as bad as it always was.
Yeah.
NCIS is a complete joke now, but for some reason, just kind of like The Simpsons, I keep watching it. Even though the stories are so utterly predictable. And
see, I caught my first episode of The Simpsons that I've seen
decade
in a long time.
Are we talking decade or more or less?
A little bit less, but right around there, yeah. And that is the one with Neil Gaiman, because I'm a Neil Gaiman fan.
Yeah, you said your wife's a huge Neil Gaiman.
And my wife's
that
even
episode was
Neil
terrible.
Gaiman.
It was a terrible Ocean's 11 pair. I use the word parody in quotes because when you copy it almost exactly, that's not really a parody. That's an epic movie.
Yeah, it But I caught that one, and it was just meh.
It's still not as bad as the Halloween one, where Homer gets paralyzed, and he can only communicate through farting. So it's literally 8 minutes of Homer farting, and people, Dad wants more peas.
Haven't seen it.
Yeah, that's what The Simpsons has come to. 8 minutes of fart jokes.
Okay. So, Simpsons continuing down. See, that's the weird thing. Fox, Family Guy had fans. Well, I know you don't like it. Deal with me for a moment. But it had tons and tons of fans clamor to bring back the series, and they listened. Now fans are clamoring to get Simpsons off the air, and I know it's only got a couple of seasons Family to go. What'd I say?
Simpsons.
I meant Family Guy. Fans are clamoring to get Simpsons off the air because it's not funny. They clamored to bring Family Guy back.
And now they're saying it needs to go away because Family Guy's not funny. There's a huge lashback against Family Guy right now because everyone's like, all right, this show just, you know, the show's creator says it should have been canceled 3 years ago. And he doesn't even like it. That should tell you something.
Okay. I was going to say I haven't heard that, but okay. The other, you know, the one that I'm glad Comedy Central brought back.
Futurama. Futurama is still good.
Yes.
Futurama is still very good.
Yes.
You know, and then you've got new series like, Justified is coming back next week. I'm really looking forward to that. I don't know if you ever saw Justified.
I caught an episode or two. Oh, a new one that airs after Walking Dead, that Hell on Wheels.
That didn't do so good.
It was good, though.
The ratings, I highly doubt that's going to be back for a second season. The ratings were just horrendous on
that. That's a shame.
And it was a very expensive, you know.
Yeah, it's
you
an saw expensive it, series.
That was not a cheap show to shoot.
Right.
But that did not pull in the ratings it needed. The big hit, no, I know we're at the end of the year. I've got them all on my computer, and I still have not had a chance to watch them yet, is everyone
My Little
tells
Pony Friendship
me,
is Magic.
American Horror Story.
I haven't watched it.
Everybody tells me it is creepy. I mean, remember our friend Bill Margold?
Yes.
You know, Godfather of Porn?
Yes.
He said he always has to DVR that show because he can't watch it at night. He has to watch it while it's daylight out. It creeps him out so much.
I'm going to have to look for those because I've heard about it quite a bit, but I couldn't even tell you what network it's on or
FX.
When it's on. Or
well, it's not on anymore, but you know, yeah. their season's over. But I've got to get around to watching those, but for whatever reason, I don't. One that I've enjoyed quite a bit more than I really have any right to, has been Terra Nova. The CG is not great on a lot of the dinosaurs, but I like the stuff with the Sixers and finding the traitor and dealing with the conspiracy from the future, you know, and I don't know. I'm liking some of the science fiction stuff. The dinosaur stuff, I can take or leave. That's not that interesting to me. And Stephen Lang is always awesome.
I've tried with Terra Nova. I couldn't get into it. It's just not my thing.
I've actually been enjoying it.
There are actually a couple, and I know you hate these, and they're certainly not new this year, but I think that it's ones that I enjoyed, but I think
they've... Come into
their own? No, I've enjoyed them, but I think that they've run their course, and that is Regular Show and Adventure Time. And don't get me wrong,
I've never even heard of Regular Show.
Okay.
This is the first I've heard of that.
But yeah, they're aired back-to-back on Cartoon Network. I really enjoy Adventure Time. I think it's a lot of fun, but I'm starting to see the decline, so I don't know if that one's going to stick around much longer. Regular Show, I enjoy it like you wouldn't believe, but... You know, again, I think it's run its course. Is there anything you can think of that other than Simpsons that's run its course and you're ready to...
That's still on the air?
Yeah.
NCIS. Like I said, you know, well, the show was never a, oh my God, this show is so amazingly written, I never saw that plot twist coming kind of show.
It was a good procedural show, though.
Right. Now, every single episode, I'm able to guess the plot twist at the 20-minute mark. You go, okay, that guy did it, and he did it by framing this guy. It is procedural show 101.
Another one like that, I think, is and Ted Danson brought more to the series than I thought he would.
I actually gave up 3 episodes into Lawrence Fishburne's run of CSI.
Ted Danson actually brought more than I thought he would.
Okay.
He's actually pretty decent in it, but I think CSI has also run its course, especially since they've gone, you know, from the gentleman that played
season 11, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the gentleman that
William Peterson.
Thank you, William Peterson. They've gone from him, which to Lawrence Fishburne, and he kind of had his run, and now it's Ted Danson. Ted Danson ain't bad, but it's still
they had a really good arc right between those, where. Right after William Peterson left, and I don't know if they always planned it like this or not, but Liv Schreiber came in for a 4-episode arc. That was a really good story. And then they kill him at the fourth episode, and then they bring in Lawrence Fishburne, and you kind of went, you know, that Liv Schreiber arc was really good. Why didn't you keep Liv Schreiber around?
I don't know, but I think CSI has kind of run its course. I don't foresee too many more seasons for it. I think maybe it'll make it to 12 or 13.
As long as the ratings are there, they're not going to get rid of it, man.
No.
You know, well, and then another cable series that was really damn good this year was Damages. But the problem with Damages this year is it started to show what I was afraid it was going to show. Because it went from the first three seasons were on FX.
Okay.
Okay. Relatively big budget. They kept most of the cast. But FX dropped it after season three, so it went to DirecTV, and it became a DirecTV exclusive on their new channel called The Audience Network.
Okay, since I don't have DirecTV. Right. Yeah.
Well, the budgets, DirecTV can't afford the kind of budgets that Fox can.
Okay.
They did what I was afraid. They used CGI in place of stunts.
Ooh.
They had, in like the second or third episode, they blew up a psychiatrist's office. And it was that horrible CG explosion. I mean, you can see the, you know, it's basically, it looks like Photoshopped, the way the flames are clearly not integrated into the image properly.
Not quite Birdemic bad, but still pretty bad.
And then, like, there's scenes in Afghanistan, because it's about a, it's about illegal operation, military operations in Afghanistan.
Okay.
And there are explosions in that I'm like, oh my God, that's PlayStation 2 quality. Like, oh, that's what I was afraid of with the new lower budget. They can't afford the stunts and some of the set pieces that they could on FX.
Are there any series that you've heard of that you're looking forward to seeing?
Not really. I mean, I never checked out Grimm, that new NBC one.
Dawn and I watched, it was right around Thanksgiving, and we watched a marathon of that stuff, and she really enjoyed it. She's really into it. I'm not so much. Yeah, there was another one with kind of that bad guy hunter deal that she really got into that I didn't, and I can't think of the name of it. But nonetheless, she really got into it. I'm kind of take it or leave it. Say, Once Upon a Time, too. Interesting. I like the premise.
Is that fantasy one on NBC?
Yeah, it's okay. On NBC. It's the fantasy, the fairy tale characters get drug into the real world and don't remember and all that.
Okay.
And interesting premise. Meh execution.
That's the way a lot of stuff is. Like a Person of Interest. Interesting premise. Not really pulled off all that well. There's a couple of those for newer shows like Unforgettable. Well, it's just another. Well, it's just not another variation on the buddy cop show.
Unforgettable. It isn't.
Well, no. I mean, you know, the premise is not that bad. You know, ex-cop. You know, she becomes a police officer again because she can remember every single thing in her life. If she sees it once, you know, 30 years later, she can remember every detail of it, which that's great for a detective, right?
Yeah, very interesting.
You kind of go, okay, yeah, it's just a kind of a weird variation on the buddy cop thing.
Yeah.
But it's not that well written, and they seem to be straining every episode. My wife watches this. Every episode, they got to find some way to make her being able to remember some tiny little detail that all the other moron cops missed. You know, they always have to seem to find a way to do that, and it's so contrived.
They started doing that with Monk toward the end, too.
Oh, I gave up on Monk even before Sharona left.
Yeah.
So I never even saw. I know he had some other chick that took over after Sharona.
Yeah,
one that really has impressed me. And as we record this, it has not been canceled yet, but it probably is going to be because it's not doing very well, is Prime Suspect.
I haven't even caught an episode of it. What's
okay, first, it's kind of continuity heavy, so you need to start at the pilot. But it is what NYPD Blue used to be when NYPD Blue was in its earlier episodes.
A vehicle for Dennis Franz's butt?
No.
Oh.
The show that's far more about the characters than it is about the case. And these people, I don't know what they do differently in the writing phase, or maybe it's ad libs. All of these characters talk like real people talk. The little mannerisms, you know, people will stumble over their words and not redo it. Like on CSI, you know, you mumble your lines, they're going to make you redo it. Here, they talk like real people talk.
Huh.
The dialogue is incredibly realistic, and the character interactions are just amazing.
Interesting.
I love Prime Suspect.
Okay. So what about movies? Are there any movies out there that you're looking forward to that are coming here next year? Are there any movies that struck you as really, really good? I guess
I still haven't seen it, but I really do want to see The Rum Diaries.
That looks incredible. It looks like it reminds me of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
It should, because they're both about Hunter S. Thompson and
right.
Johnny Depp playing Hunter S. Thompson based on Hunter S. Thompson's books.
Right.
And it looks incredibly fun. You know, like, you know, try to look normal. You know, he's sitting yes. up top of the, just, you know, try to act normal. When my son saw that trailer, he goes, God, they make dumb looking movies. And I'm like, no, this looks great.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either, but I'm looking forward to it coming out on DVD because I definitely want to see it. Let's see here.
I still really, now, we're recording this obviously before the New
the
Year,
air
before
date.
Christmas,
right.
but
right.
so I haven't seen it yet. I know it's out on DVD. I really want to see Chillerama. It's one of those new horror movie anthologies, you know, four stories.
I haven't even heard of this.
One of the stories is about a giant mutated piece of sperm that goes rampaging through the city like Godzilla does.
That sounds very Woody Allen.
No, he had a giant tit that would milk people. and you know, once they caught the one in the bra, we got to look out. These things always travel in pairs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the way, for you younger listeners, that's from Everything You Wanted to Know About Sex, But We're Afraid to Ask. If you ever wanted to see Gene Wilder falling in love with a sheep in lingerie, that's the movie for you. Or
yeah.
if you ever wanted to see Woody Allen as a sperm.
Yeah.
I'm not making that up.
No, you're not. That was one of his weirder movies.
Yeah, it's kind of an un-Woody Allen-ish movie.
Well, there was that one, and then there was the one where he kind of played the android thing.
Sleeper?
Yeah.
He wasn't really an android. He was kind of a time traveler.
Yeah,
but,
weird.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But you know, Rum Diary, I really want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
There really hasn't been a whole lot. I mean, I don't think I've gone to the theater to see anything. I think the last thing I saw in the theater was Contagion, and you know, I've told you about my horrible experience
yeah,
with that bullshit.
I haven't
movie's good. The movie's really good.
I'm trying to remember what movies I went and saw in the theater. There was the end, the Harry Potter movies.
That's because you said you and your wife were Harry Potter fans.
Me and my wife went, and I enjoyed them for what they were. There was another one that I went to see, and I cannot remember. And that may have been last year, so I'm not going to bother with it. But, yeah, I haven't been to the theater very much at all, in the past 5 years. It's not worth it to me.
No, it's not. I mean, Contagion, you know, we went out because that is a movie I really did want to see.
Right.
And, you know, before that, I think the last two were Machete and Predators, again, because those were movies I just didn't want to wait for.
Right.
And that's pretty much the only reason I go to the theater anymore. If it's a movie I cannot wait till video for.
And
there aren't too
many
of them anymore.
Because I'm the same way. I only go to the theater if it's one that I really don't want to wait for. And meh. You know, there really haven't been one. That Cowboys and Aliens looked interesting. Super 8 looked interesting, but then I always...
I can wait for video for all those.
I can wait for video for those, and then I heard the reviews, and I was like, oh, that's a shame.
Well, one that I won't break my own rule on this one part. If there is not a 2D screening of it, I will not go see Prometheus in the theater. Fuck you, Ridley Scott.
I agree. Well, see, that's the thing, too. I don't see in 3D. I have very bad depth perception.
We talked about that in really early. Well, because, see, the thing with Prometheus is it was shot with those, you know, new Avatar cameras and all that.
Right, right.
And Ridley Scott has outright said this movie can only be viewed in 3D. And 20th Century Fox, as we're recording this, is still backing him. Mm. They will not release a 2D conversion of this, including home video. It will be released exclusively for 3D TVs and exclusively on Blu-ray for 3D only because Ridley Scott says you cannot watch this movie 2D. It has to be seen 3D. And I'm going, fuck you, Ridley Scott.
See, now, okay, I also, who's doing this, you said?
Ridley Scott.
No, I know that. What?
Oh, 20th Century Fox.
Thank you.
Because it's an alien prequel that's not an alien prequel that is an alien prequel.
No, please continue.
No, I'm just saying. Okay.
Can I talk now?
Yes. I didn't mean to step.
I know
you pushed my buttons, and you know what happens.
I know. I think Fox is going to look at the sales of 3D TV and 3D Blu-ray players and stuff like that, and I think they're going to release it in 2D when it comes to home video. Because that's actually one thing that I'm really, really happy about.
That 3D TVs did not do.
3D TVs, they're there. They're not doing as well as... Because Sony, when they came out with their very first 3D TV, the Bravia model number, whatever the hell it was.
See, I don't even remember that.
They said that within 2 years... They are not going to be manufacturing 2D televisions anymore. Nobody will be manufacturing or selling 2D televisions ever again.
I love when companies do that and they think their new technology is so good.
And it just, you know, they haven't done well. They haven't done too badly, but the uptake on them is just ridiculous. Well,
and you got to wear the glasses.
Yeah.
Do you want, I mean, you and I wear glasses normally.
Right.
But do you want to have to wear a special pair of glasses just to watch the fucking news?
No, that and I don't know about you, but when I watch, there are times when I watch movies on TV alone or with my wife and, you know, two pairs of glasses would be plenty. But there are way too many times that I have a gang of people over and we do movie night marathons and stuff like that. And I am not shelling, and those glasses are what, $150 a piece?
Something like that.
I'm not shelling out for 20 of them.
Well, and it's just so arrogant of 20th Century Fox that, you know, we want you to see the 3D. Because first of all, 3D tickets cost more. That's why they're not making a 2D conversion, because they don't want people to go, I'll take the $8 ticket over the $35 ticket. Yeah.
And I don't. When it comes to their home video, really, I don't see it sticking. I do not see it sticking.
What I see is, and this is one of those times where I really will fall behind the bootlegger. I guarantee as soon as Prometheus hits theaters 3D only, there will be a 2D torrent boobering around the internet. And that will probably be so highly coveted because all the people like me that just say, fuck you.
Well, that and, gosh, I...
Because here's my thing to 20th Century Fox. I'm willing to go see that movie in the theater in 2D.
Yeah.
I'm willing to go do that. If you're not willing to give me a 2D conversion, then fuck you.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, so that... And then I'm just mad at that movie because of the whole Alien thing. It started out as a prequel to Alien. Then they said, no, now it's a standalone movie, no connection to Alien. Then it became an Alien prequel again. Then it became a standalone movie again. And as we're recording this, now they've confirmed, yes, there's connections to the Alien universe again. So it was an Alien movie that wasn't, that was, that wasn't, that wasn't, that was, that wasn't. It's like, okay, that is very bad for a story if you don't, yeah, well, it fits in this universe. Well, it doesn't. Well, yeah, it does. No, it doesn't.
Well, you know, it'll be interesting. Who knows? I'll wait until it's there. And
they don't even have a trailer for that thing out yet.
Yeah. So, see, and for me, the only thing that I'm looking forward to, I have heard news, and I think you even shared of a Blade Runner
prequel.
Prequel.
or sequel. They haven't quite decided.
They haven't made up their mind yet, huh?
Well, there were Blade Runner sequels in novel form. I've got Blade Runner 2 and 3, the novels.
Okay.
But they're based off the movie. They're not sequels to Android's Dream of Electric Sheep.
They're sequels to the movie
version. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a little bit weird because the movie didn't have a novelization.
Right.
They just re-released Do Android's Dream of Electric Sheep with Harrison Ford on the cover.
Right.
So they're really, it's sort of strange in that way, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, but I've seen that. I'm trying to think of an example, but I've seen that before.
The Omega Man, remember?
Yes,
with Charlton Heston?
Yes.
It's got Charlton Heston on the cover shooting some of the, shooting Mathis and whatnot. It's actually I Am Legend. It's not an adaptation of the movie. It's the original novel.
Right.
Same with my Planet of the Apes. I got the Planet of the Apes one. It's got Heston on the cover again. It's actually the Monkey Planet novel, not a novelization of the movie.
Right.
Which...
Thank you for the examples.
I can see back in the 70s, that could really throw some people off, too.
Well, especially if you read the novel and there's, you know, subplots that weren't in the movie and everything like that.
Or like in Planet of the Apes, they have flying cars and laser guns and jetpacks and stuff. And
exactly.
The movie's all kind of Flintstone-y, you know, shit like that. So there is that. And then we also really should point out at the end of the year here, the issues between Scott and I when he had to take his break and whatnot. And... You know, I was getting a little overbearing.
Yes.
And I saw that.
Yep.
And, you know, that wasn't the only reason Scott had to take a break.
I legitimately did have some family stuff and some home stuff to deal with. I also just needed a break from you for a little while.
Imagine that.
And you know, we even had a few listeners comment that we were starting to fight more and it was getting ugly and everything like that. That's all we've sat down, we've talked, I've made a deal with Josh basically saying, if you want the show to continue, and more importantly, if you want the show to continue with me, changes have to be made. And you've done well these last few episodes that we've recorded. Thank you. You've kind of kept yourself in check, and I appreciate that. So I'm back. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere.
Despite what certain listeners might want, for. I sent you that email. Remember?
That's right. Screw all of you that were like, "Yeah, get rid of that guy."
Yeah,
Too bad.
We actually got a couple that during his little break when Hank was filling in, and I did the one by myself. That were like, "Oh, thank God Scott's gone." Now one guy actually said, "You can finally start growing as a show."
And we've gotten a lot more. To be fair, we got a lot more that were. You know, bring Scott back,
yes.
Bring Scott back. And that's part of the reason why I came back was because...
One guy actually said, if you don't come back, you're a douchebag. I didn't know if that was a threat or
No, that
or
was...
Not.
Even if I do come back, I'm still a douchebag. But let's see, I got a death threat.
Really?
You didn't show
me that one.
No, I didn't see the point to it.
I'm like, you didn't show me that email.
It was basically, if you don't come back, I'm coming to Wisconsin and I'm going to kill you. And I was, you know, good luck finding me.
Okay, his address is...
1234 Main Street.
No, it's 1234 Fake Street.
Yes, 1234 Fake Street.
Wait a minute. Fake Street starts in the 500s. Sorry. That's a back when The Simpsons was funny thing.
Yeah, for a moment. But yeah, thanks to all of the support letters, to those of you that wrote in and said, oh, thank God he's gone. Fuck you, enjoy Radiodrome.
there's also the ones that hate me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we also have to address the ones that were like, why did Scott have to leave? Why couldn't you have left the show? It's like, you guys do know that I'm the one that started this thing, right?
Exactly. We even have a couple of listeners that were like, you know, if you ever want to do a show without Josh, let me know and we can do a show together. Blah. Okay. Thanks, but we're back. We're settled. The shit that went down is kind of water under the bridge. I'm not saying I'll never have to take another break ever again, but... You know,
all right, so here's a new contest. LostInTheStaticShow@gmail.com. How long till I can get Scott to have a nervous breakdown? I want bets placed on this.
You know damn well you can't get me to have a nervous breakdown.
I can push you to it.
You know. You tried with other people and failed Came close, but failed.
Hey, our old boss at Channel 26, exactly. I'm still taking bets with some of our friends there on when he's going to finally crack, because exactly. It's going to be within this year.
But thank you guys very much. We've had a good year. Here's to another one, and we'll see you in the future.
Well, they'll hear us in the future.
Well, maybe we'll see them in the future, too. You never know. We could meet up with somebody.
It's a possibility.
It's a possibility.
An outside possibility,
but a possibility.
We're clearly just filling these last 10 seconds.
I know. We've got 9 seconds to go. Thanks
yeah,
a bunch for joining us. We'll see you next year. This has been
good night.
Good night.